Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Mr. Doyle, welcome to Blue Collar BS. Greatly appreciate you being here today. As you are aware, we've been doing this show for a while. We've had a bunch of guests for a while. Right. We're going to change it up a little bit. Just you and I having an in-depth conversation here. I'm Blue Collar BS. You know, like we learned a while ago, BS does not only mean what we think it means, business solutions, and, oh, by the way, Brad and Steve. So this will be the Blue Collar BS, Brad and Steve portion of our show going forward. So we talked pre-recording here about topics and various things, and automation and job displacement came up as something that hit a trigger for you. So over the next decade, automation and job displacement, advancement in robotics, artificial intelligence, machine learning, automating manual tasks have that potential for leading to job displacement for blue-collar workers. And given that you are in the Motor City of Detroit, Michigan,
the Motor,
you are at the forefront of this topic and probably see it every day. So what do you see as the hurdles, roadblocks, and or positives of automation moving forward in the blue-collar space?
No, it's an interesting topic because there's always the fear. Number one is the fear. Fear for the employees, fear for the management, fear for, you know, the business owners. And what does that fear stem from? It's a lot of it's the unknown. So fear for the workers is this automation is now going to take away my job. What am I going to be doing? How am I going to be employed? You know,
you're going to do something different. That's how.
Yeah, but you know, nobody can articulate what we're going to do different. Something is going to be automated to take away my job. So I am no longer doing any fabrication work. I'm no longer welding up this assembly. I'm no longer, you know, riveting any of this stuff. It's all going to be automated. Or even in the builder's side, from an automation standpoint, pre-manufactured homes are coming to the job site. That I no longer am going to be doing directly on a job site. If I used to be a stick guy, all the sticks show up, I slam them in, I spend 6 months, 12 months, whatever it is, building this building out of sticks. Now everything's coming in on flatbeds and it's assembled in less than a week. My whole livelihood is just shot to shit. I don't know what to do.
Well, it's a different, well, your livelihood becomes different. It doesn't become the same, no different than both of us getting to our path here. At some point, there was a different, right? Life took a turn, decisions were made, and now we get to do this great podcast to do something different to have an impact in the world upon which we came from. So it's opportunity, I think, right? It's opportunity for growth. It's opportunity for learning, opportunity to try new things. At the same time, it's opportunity for people to advance their own knowledge and understanding.
Correct.
One of the things that we talk about when we think about the Think Like a Buyer program, right? That buggy whip factory. Mm-hmm. Right? Buggy whips were great. They were fantastic. They were really important when we had buggies. Henry Ford came by and got rid of the buggies. However, now you get all of these. Now we got these horse-drawn carriages and all these little – it's this Renaissance piece to it.
Correct.
So somebody's got to make buggy whips niche somewhere along the line.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean it can't – it won't happen again. Everything goes in full circles.
Yes. So it's – the fear is real. What isn't happening is the realization to help – the realization to help someone guide them towards – what is the next step for me? Because my job's going to be displaced. How am I going to go from doing what I'm doing now to doing something nobody knows what's needed in the future? Help me understand that.
Do you believe that that is a union, non-union thing potentially? More so than it is a...
It could be, but I'm not seeing it as that. I mean, there okay. is that, there is that protectiveness of the unionized workforce to protect what has always been, to protect the quote unquote rights of the workforce. However, right. it is the blind spot to know that when we advance with whatever we're doing, there are new skill sets that need to be learned. There's going to be a new need for it's a different need for the workforce, because with automation, somebody has to service that automation. And there's going to be things that come up that weren't thought about that need to be done. That is a manual operation.
Right. So when the Andon light goes on, it's flashing red. Woo, woo, woo. Can't make my part. Mm-hmm. You know, Jethro the robot's not going to come over and fix the automation cycle.
Correct.
You know, Rosie the Riveter from the Jetsons isn't going to be able to make that happen for us.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's going to have to be somebody that's going to need to take mm-hmm. manual intervention.
Correct. And it requires us to be mindful, and it's a whole skill set. We have to be willing to adapt and learn, but we have to be open to that change. And most times with the advanced automation that's happening today, the mindset is so closed because of fear.
Well, and some of that is rightfully so. And I know this isn't a political sure. show, but we start automating and we start relying on electrical grid, and we know that our infrastructure is not the most robust in many areas. Mm-hmm. At some point, how are we going to do that if there's not the infrastructure to support all of the, you know, if there aren't enough silicone chips, if there aren't enough things to have the servers to create the power to keep all of that running, is it really something to be afraid of? I don't know.
Not in as much today as it will be in the future. As we continue to advance and find the new materials that we need to use, we don't even know what they are right now. But as we find those things, because we're currently in the push for green, right? Everything that we mine to quote unquote make green is actually making everything not green. Just
don't get me started on that. Please don't.
We won't go down that path.
But. No, please don't. We don't need to go down that path.
But again,
okay, just to go on that, I'm going to go down that path just one moment.
So I was somewhere,
I forget where I was this past week, but I heard this conversation going on about, you know, for every two EVs that show up on in the marketplace, that's like adding another home to the grid based on draw and conversion of mm-hmm. power and all these things to charge the vehicles. I'm like, huh. Okay, so every two vehicles is another home on the grid. There's no way the grid is going to support all of that transformation and transition. As a mining guy, right? As a coal mining guy, I'm like, huh. Okay, that means we got to make more power plants, which means that we have to have more construction, which means we need more people to build those, which means we need more coal, mm-hmm. which means we need to go get more. I'm like, this is just a mind-boggling, what is going on here scenario.
Correct. And again, if we bring that back down to, it's not just the blue collar workforce that has that concern. It is all throughout. All of us have that concern, no matter if we're blue collar, white collar, no collar, whatever, dog collar, I don't care. We all have that concern.
Dog collar. Blue collar DC. Okay.
That's right.
DCBS. There we go.
So
it's a new show.
You know, with the advancements with robotics, it's one thing to make the sweeping comment. Everything will work itself out as it always has. Yes, there are growing pains. Yes, there are frustrations, but it's us keeping an open mindset that there is going to be something new that is needed, and we have to be open to seize the moment when it happens.
Okay. All right. So for that mid-tier tool and die shop, for that mid-tier, we'll just say the level one supplier to your automotive guys, all those types mm-hmm. of folks, what would you advise them to consider from a workforce perspective to look at differently?
Those that are there first in the beginning are usually the ones that are going to win long-term. And they are the ones that are leading the charge with their workforce, like engaging their workforce. And when we talk engaging, it's not just, hey, we have a solution. No, we bring our suppliers, we bring our customers in, and we show them how we're engaging in the new technology in the new era to help them progress. And hey, if we're doing it, we can help you do it too. So it's no longer an us thing. It's no longer a me thing. It's a we thing. Keeping the we concept, the how we as a team can do that.
Okay. When you talk about that, it reminds me of how Matt's doing that at MRS here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Right? Taking the charge, leading the charge, bringing people to be things different, making a stance and moving forward. Same thing with your buddy Josh up in Minnesota on the boat side, right? Making that clear decision that his role as a leader is to recruit and retain and find younger talent smarter than him along the way and get out of the way of fear. So I think
that it's the challenge. To make advancements, you have to challenge the status quo. You have to be willing to take the risk, take chances. Yeah, they're not all going to pan out. Yeah, fuck around and find out. You're going to learn that things are going to work or they're not. And if you find that they work, great. Dominate that market. Dominate that area.
All right.
And you, yeah.
Cool. Well, that's an area of topic, right? And I think we need to find some experts in that space to come on the show and maybe share where they're coming from and what they're thinking of doing. So that'll be my ask. For the listeners out there, if you are in that automation world and robotics world, we'd love to have a conversation with you and dive into that more about how to eliminate that fear and move and progress forward instead of status quo. So, Steve, another great conversation here on the Blue Collar BS. And now we've got this new Brad and Steve
component
to it that we're going to add into the mix probably in between our guest shows. It's a really good conversation. Thanks for having it today.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.